that a friend left at my house. Let me pour some on your tongue, babe, instead of stressing yourself out. I'll be the therapy that you need, baby, right here at home. Get lost in my body and pretend that nothing is wrong. Out of these walls, people don't understand us. They try to pass these laws, 'cause people don't understand our love. I'll be the therapy that you need, baby, right here at home.
How you love doesn't matter to me, just as long as the pressure's on me. How you love doesn't matter to me,
doesn't matter.
Feel your love, don't talk about oppression, 'cause we just need one night off to apply that good pressure. Won't give up, we'll always fight. Oppression, but we just need one night off to apply that good pressure.
How you love doesn't matter to me.
To apply that good pressure.
How you love doesn't matter to me.
To apply that good pressure.
How you love doesn't matter to me.
Typically Tuesday on CJSF 90.1 FM, we are the campus community radio station broadcasting on Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish Nations, the territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam. We stream online at cjsf.ca. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, and YouTube. By looking up CJSF Radio. My name is Leslie. I have people here with me in the studio. You may speak if you want to. If you don't want to talk, that is also okay. So anybody would like to...
Okay, we just want to introduce ourselves.
If maybe. You want to.
Yes, I'm Deborah. I think I was on your show last week, and
yes.
I'm here today.
Yay, thank you for joining me today, Deborah. Did you want to talk?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm Sammy. I've been here before, but I've never talked before.
And today is the first.
Yes.
It's going to be good. And onto the airwaves we go. Today is February 3rd, 2020. Weird weather last night, I felt. Random snowing.
Yeah.
Not pleasant. Oh. Not pleasant. Happening, I guess. How are you all? How have you all been?
I'm fine. I came up the mountain today and I was shocked to see snow because I was from Vancouver and there was no snow. And then as I started climbing the mountain, I'm like, what's happening? And I think before coming into the studio, I saw that there's going to be snow tomorrow. It's not a happy moment, but then we are glad it's not all rain.
That's true, I guess. How about you, Sammy? How are you?
Good. Are any of you hoping for a snow day?
No.
I am.
Oh, really?
You don't like classes being canceled?
I only have classes on Friday and Saturday this semester, so I feel like I have to go to them because it's only two. Are you looking forward to a potential snow day, Deborah?
I am. If I could get a potential snow day tomorrow, I'll be the happiest person. Trust me.
Are you TAing tomorrow?
No, I have a class tomorrow, actually.
Ah, okay.
And the funny thing is, if the class is canceled, it's actually going to get an effect on me because we have an assignment the lecturer is going to actually explain tomorrow. So if he doesn't get the opportunity to do that is true, then he'll do it via email, which you wouldn't get to get all the questions, and it's really going to affect their assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But then as students, there's nothing like having a snow day.
That is true. Are you looking forward to a snow day, Sam?
I actually like the class I have tomorrow, so if it was on Wednesday, it would be better.
Oh, okay. So, oh yeah. Oh my god, I thought tomorrow was Wednesday. Time is weird. Time is wild. Good to know that we're doing moderately okay, at least. Yeah. Surviving out here. Doing it. This week, we are doing trying to do as much local music as possible, but I don't think it has been it's necessarily possible for me to do that, because I lack much knowledge. The beginning of February 3rd marks the beginning of Black History Month, and I would like to share as much music created by Black musicians as possible. And also, for today's talking point, I would like to discuss some kind of like, I guess, figures in history who myself and other folks I've seen discuss think are a little bit overlooked in discourses about Black history. Going to be talking about Ida B. Wells today, and also Jade, who is my usual co-host, he sent me this article about how a street in New York is going to be renamed after Marsha P. Johnson, which is fairly interesting and fairly exciting. So I'm hoping to share that today, and we can discuss things, and then we can discuss other things that pop up if we want. You heard our usual introduction song called Good Pressure by Shea Diamond, and I decided to play it in full today because why not? Next song you're going to hear is called Voodoo Damn Funk Refreak by Shaylia by Shaylia, Buddy, and Damn Funk. So enjoy.
Don't you let me make you over. I've been waiting, you've been waiting so long. When I get there, we ain't wasting no time. You need someone to give you love, I'll be the one. This sensation, swear it feels amazing. My heart's racing and you're the one to blame, honey. If you ever go through complications and you need someone to hold you up, I'll be the one.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. How you say, ooh, how you say my place and your place?
Oh, va chez toi ou va chez moi?
Ooh, that sounds sexy. Say that again.
No, you get it. I don't need to repeat that.
It's for my sugar banana, my sweetie potato.
Chat,
you're so sweet, oh.
3, 2, 1. If there's a time, it is now. If there's a feeling expression, I want it. I want to capture this moment. Your smile, your heart. If there's a place, it is here. A place of rest, relaxation. With you,
with you,
with you.
Just you.
Ooh, you are sweet apple pie. Sweet like jam. Change, but you'll stay the same. Friends come and go, but you'll still remain. Oh, I can never get enough. I can never get enough. Do you know you are sweet apple pie?
Sade, 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 S not Sadie, not Sadie, not Sade, Sade, Sade.
Seeing your face, cause you do it on purpose now. Baby, it's an idiot thing denying. Can't you see? I wish you put your trust in me. Sometimes I'm anxiously. Happened to all of those things like you said you would hold me down. Maybe I'm an idiot, babe, for trying hard to be somebody that you want me to be. Sometimes it's too hard to be.
Bird note. A typical bird nest will have maybe 4 to 6 eggs neatly arranged for a parent to hunker down on. Now, meet the greater Rhea, South America's largest bird. Rheas are 4 to 5 foot tall, flightless birds that look a good deal like ostriches. You can find between 50 and 80 eggs in one Rhea nest, but they're not all from the same set of parents. Male Rheas mate with several females and then build a single nest on the ground to hold all the eggs from each of them. Female Rheas wander around during the breeding season and mate with different males, laying eggs in each of their partners' nests. Males usually stay put after breeding and attend the nest, but a male Rhea might recruit a lower-ranking male to look after his first nest while he goes off to start another nest, now mating with a second set of females. As the Rhea eggs are about to hatch, the chicks, while still inside the egg, begin to make a curious whistle. Imagine 50 or more, all whistling at once. Sometimes, young chicks like to nestle in the feathers of the male's back. Good thing he has such a nice broad back for all those chicks. For Bird Note, I'm Ashley Ahern.
Welcome back to Typically Typically Tuesday on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Dijon with Cry Baby, and before that you heard Sade Awali with Apple Pie. Sade is a local talent, I believe, and she's been on Vancouver Mixtape, which is a program that airs on Sunday here on CJSF. A cool bop, good tune, liked it very much. With me in the studio are some folks. If you would like to introduce yourself, please do. You don't have to. You're not obliged to. One moment. In the studio are our friends.
Okay, probably we need a reintroduction. Yes, I am Deborah. I was on your show last week and I am here today. And this month, you say, is the Black...
It's Black History Month.
Black History Month. Wow. Mm-hmm. I hope to learn more and contribute to what this month's agenda. Like, I'm particularly interested in that.
That's cool. That's good to know. I personally do not know a lot. I'm just kind of, like, trying to understand and, like, flesh things out. So, and I am also willing to be called out if needed.
Sure. Be prepared for that.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure.
Also? Okay.
I'm Sammy. I'm also here.
She's also here. Sam and I went to high school together.
We did.
What an experience that was. Anyways.
Wow, that's a gang up here. I'm feeling odd.
Oh no, we're gonna bring you in. We're gonna initiate you into our gang. let's do a little bit of short discussion, I guess, about kind of like a silly thing. I think it's a somewhat silly thing that happened a couple weeks back. Regarding some like popular businesses and some popular and infamous kind of like animal rights organizations, I guess. So, this is from Montreal's CTV News, and this was about 2 weeks ago. PETA activists to occupy Starbucks outlets across North America to protest vegan milk upcharge. What was happening was that PETA, which is an animal rights group, had planned to peacefully occupy Starbucks locations across Canada and the United States to urge the international coffee conglomerate to dump the extra fee in charges for dairy-free milk. So they argued basically that soy and nut milks shouldn't cost a cent more than their dairy counterparts, because dairy counterparts are cruel to cows and contribute to climate change and are actually also indigestible to many people. So PETA is out here putting on the pressure. In a statement, PETA decried what it called violent treatment of animals by the dairy industry and blamed dairy farming for contributing significant amounts of greenhouse gases to Earth's atmosphere, thereby accelerating climate change. They also said that there was speciesism in a human supremacist worldview in which kind of like the comfort of people are prioritized over the comfort of animals. Having said that, do you all have any thoughts on this?
I do.
Okay.
Because I'm lactose intolerant, I have to pay for soy milk and almond milk, and I find it ridiculous. Because I'm like, in order for my colon to not die, I feel like it's important to be able to have the same costing drink.
Okay.
That is, that makes sense. That's a good take. That seems, PETA seems to be, like, concerned about the well-being of your colon.
They're probably...
Well, if coming from here, like, as she said, she needs her colon to be active. And so PETA is actually fighting for her, which I think is cool. But then have you also thought about probably the processed milk? It's kind of expensive. And so technically, if I'm selling it, I'm actually going to add more to it so that I also get my profits. Like, so are we also talking about the businessmen in it? Fine, it's all about profits. We should think about ourselves, think about humanity. But then have you also thought about how one way or the other, little by little, is going to contribute to crippling their businesses?
That's a good point to make also. I like that you brought up, like, the idea that it had, like, the business behind it, because it is true. Like, even dairy milk that is lactose-free, which is what I was drinking for a while, that costs more than milk that isn't great for people who are lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Great points. I would also say that I agree with Sammy in the sense that, like, it's not as helpful for me for non-dairy milk to cost a little bit more money, because I can't digest dairy milk, and apparently I might be allergic to it. But, but I don't necessarily agree with PETA's argument that it seems that they're implying that it's more environmentally friendly for like non-dairy milks to be like
produced.
That's not necessarily true.
I thought it was mostly due to the meat process. Like, if you were to eat the cows, that's what contributes to the greenhouse gases. Like,
Well, I would probably side with them if they agitate that rather dairy milk should be made more expensive, because I really, most of the things that comes in their organic forms, that comes in their natural state, are much more expensive than the ones that are processed. And so if PETA is saying, or they're agitating for dairy milk to be much more expensive than non-dairy ones, then I think that that's a logical one. That's laudable, and that is something that I will vote on, so that it's, as they are saying, they want to protect animals and everything. It goes a long way to protect them, right? And mind you that in every case there's the positives and there's the negatives, and so those of us who consume the non-dairy ones will also come up and say, who consume the dairy ones also come out and say, that's too expensive for us to get. But then I think that's another way of protecting the animals and protecting lives of these animals. If you really want to agitate for something like that, I think one thing you could look at is making dairy milk much more expensive than the non-dairy ones.
Yeah, I think that's also like a potentially interesting like plan of action to have. Because that would make sense, right? People do want their dairy milk, and people do want their dairy milk, and potentially if you raise prices on that, then more people might be like, oh, maybe I should look at different options. I just think it's like kind of wild. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I just think it's kind of wild for them to say that, like, soy milks and nut milks basically don't have as heavy as an environmental impact, because like last year when the Amazon forest was, and I believe it continues to be, like, basically decimated by these huge agriculture companies, right? Behind the cattle companies, I don't know, behind the companies that are like wanting to produce more beef, a lot of those companies want to produce more soy. Soy also has a lot of GMOs in it, because it's very highly consumed nowadays, especially in the West. And also almond milk, like, to produce a single almond takes like gallons of water. It doesn't like really seem to add up to me if they're gonna take like this argument and like drive it home, because it ain't, I don't really know if that's true, y'all. Yeah, I will say, like, I don't like paying extra for non-dairy milk. And it should be equal.
Obviously.
You know? Yeah.
Well, we could say if it becomes equal, then we probably, PETA is not going to achieve their tenants, whatever it is that they are fighting for. And so, like I said early on, the best way to me, as I sit here right now, not knowing much about the activities, is that you would probably fight that dairy milk, there's much more value on that, so that the animals are protected. Because obviously, if I walk into, normally I wouldn't go to an organic shop to shop, because I know that things there are expensive. Even if I walk into an organic shop, I go, there's other inorganic things that they sell, and so I'll go, and then there's a carrot here with a grip band that says, oh, this is organic. There's the same thing that there's another one half at the, there's another one on the other half that looks exactly that like the organic one, only that there's no green band, and I'm like, this is cheaper, and so I am going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you could say that make that much more expensive, people would technically, like somebody like me, I won't buy it. If I have two items in front of me and one is expensive than the other, I'll definitely go for the one which is less expensive. And so if you really want to save animals, if you really want to protect the animals and set your agenda in motion, I think one way we could do is place more value on dairy products.
You know what's funny? That's the reason why my parents got an electric car, because the prices of gas keep rising. Yet still people come up with the weirdest explanations to not get an electric car.
Yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't always work. If people want it, they'll want it.
Sometimes we have to take alternative methods to drive home our purpose and our cause.
Yeah.
Hot takes today here on hot but good takes, I think, on Typically Tuesday here today. Let's move on to some more tune. This is also, I don't really know, like, kind of a local. It's Canadian. It's Canadian. It's queer. It's going to be good. This is Kay Trinada off of his newest album, Bubba, with Scared to Death.
Thank you. Bird note. Each season ushers in its own bounty of bird life. Winter is the best season to highlight North America's feathered thunderbolts, the falcons. Northern nesting species of falcons, like this peregrine we're hearing, move southward, closer to their many admiring observers. Hurtling through the air on blade-like wings, falcons rank among the fastest of all birds and the most adept at capturing prey in flight. One falcon much more prevalent across the U.S. in winter is the merlin. 10 inches tall with a 2-foot wingspan, the merlin chases down small birds from sparrows to sandpipers. Small but powerful, the fearless merlin will buzz even a huge eagle that enters its airspace. The majestic gyrfalcon drifts south in winter to the northern tier of states. Larger than a red-tailed hawk, in a direct sprint, the gyrfalcon can overtake even the fastest duck. The mid-sized peregrine falcon nests in some locales across the country, but its numbers are greatest in winter, especially near the coasts. During its dive on a hapless pigeon or dunlin, a peregrine may reach an airspeed approaching 200 miles an hour. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support for Bird Note comes from American Bird Conservancy and Bringing Back the Birds, a photo book by Owen Deutsch on the importance of protecting birdscapes. Available at Amazon.com.
Typically Tuesday on CJSF 90.1 FM, My name is Leslie. I'm joined in the studio by Deborah and Sammy. You just heard Caravan Palace with a track called Susie. And before that, you heard Jamie Berry and Octavia Rose with a track called Delight. Both of these were picked out by Sam. Thank you very much for contributing.
They're electro swing songs.
Yes. I heard you and Deborah chatting about this genre in particular during our break. And you said that you listen to the music when you study.
Mm-hmm. Well, Deborah, on the other hand, has to have silence while she studies.
Yes, I need total silence to study. I can't imagine having music on and then I'm trying to steady, have something in my head. It's kind of distracting. Mm. And so I kind of like absolute silence. But then when it gets too silent, like in the dawn, how silent the dawn is, my mind also drifts away. So I think the silence I enjoy in the library is great. Last semester, there's this classmate of mine that actually did cats for us, the whole class. That was sweet of her. And she wrote things like she's really studied people about. And I was so, I don't know, I was whether I should be happy about it or I should be kind of, I don't know. She wrote that, oh, it's nice always seeing you in the library. I'm like, wow, people really see me in the library. And then they were like, oh, are you that a serious student? I'm like, well, I'm not going to take that away from me. Yes, I'm a serious student. But then when I'm in my room, I either sleep. Oh, I'm basically useless when I'm in the house. It's all about watching videos or sleeping. And I'm a student. I need to study. And so I just pick my bag and I just take the bus 30 minutes to school. And I'm always in the library when there's no class. Just so I can study a little bit. Because when I get home, it's all about me sleeping and listening to music. Nothing more.
Yeah, I feel that. I have a little bit of trouble studying in total silence. But then listening to music sometimes isn't that helpful either. So I listen to music in other languages that I don't understand. And so I don't have to get distracted by what they're saying. But then I don't have to fall asleep.
Yeah, I think I get distracted by the sound. Mm. Not necessarily the lyrics of the song. It's the sound. Because if something is playing on the background and it's even that low, I really want to listen to what exactly is going on. And so I find out that my mind is actually paying attention to find out what the song is all about. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't like it. I put off every sound when I'm studying. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great feed for Sammy to be steady with music. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
I heard if you study to video game music, songs that play during video games, they help you focus because that's what they're designed for, for you to focus on the game. You could apply it to studying too.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Did not know about that.
Me neither.
Learning new things while we're talking about studying and not doing so. We are hitting about the top of the hour of our programs today, so I'm going to have to cut some talking points. So we will talk about Ida B. Wells next week, who is, I think, somebody who's really, really remarkable in history. Just a brief kind of summary, Ida B. Wells is a journalist and activist who wrote extensively against the basically mass lynchings of black men in the South. Many of these men were murdered because of, I suppose you could say, I'm not really sure if I'm going to be using the term right, so I won't use it. Basically, they were murdered because of lots of racism surrounding black men's sexuality and their perceived predatory behaviors on white women. Ida B. Wells wrote extensively against that, and she was a really prolific journalist also.
Yeah, when you sent me that over, I went to check on the internet about it, and I was so impressed. And I kind of like the article you sent me. I kind of like the fact, the way they narrated the whole thing and how it started and everything. And I think she really did a great job when it came to mass lynching. Mm-hmm. And this is something I look forward to learning more on your show next week. I think she should be upholded for starting something like that, considering the fact that she really faced a lot of opposition, even from right fighters like her, even from people who were in her same group. Like, it got to a time they are like, no, you're taking this out of proportion, and the fact that she didn't give up on it, and really, because it's kind of dehumanizing to look at somebody and judge the person because of the person's race, because of the person's sexuality. And this is something that we've really talked about extensively. This is something that activists have come up extensively to fight against. And so to see that it didn't just start now, it really started long ago. Mm-hmm. And people have started the journey, and there are still people out there who are continuing the journey. We need to bring the people, like old folks, we need to bring their acts back to encourage those who are still fighting now that it didn't just start now. You are not the first person. There are people who started and achieved results, and you can also do the same. Like,
yeah, I would agree. And yeah, definitely. Her achievements and her life story, I find that not very many people know about her and know about them. Definitely for me, I didn't know about her until only a couple of years ago, maybe. And we were the only reason why I knew about her was because we discussed Black feminism in one of my classes about theory, and my teacher Anne Travers, they put it like really, really amazingly. Like, Ida B. Wells was one of the first Black feminists. It's not something that started, you know, a couple of decades ago. It's been something that's been, this is activism that's been happening for a long, long time, and we have to acknowledge the impacts and who are the champions, I guess. Yeah, so I'm excited to be talking more about her next week. This week, I will share an article that Jade shared with me this morning. And it seems like this is extremely recent. Came out probably this morning. And this is also a person who I really wanted to talk about this month for this segment, I guess. Out.com, which is an LGBTQ news outlet, writes, "Trans icon Marsha P. Johnson to receive park named in her honor. A park in Brooklyn, New York is set to be renamed after Marsha P. Johnson, a notable trans activist in LGBTQ history and integral figure in the Stonewall Uprising. The park is currently known as the East River State Park and will now be the first in New York to be named after an openly LGBTQ plus person." New York State is, okay, that's something from their governor. I will not read it because, I don't know, I don't really care about their governor. Okay, well, I guess, all right. Some cool things about Marsha P. Johnson is that she was basically an activist her entire life. She was born in the 30s, I believe, and started a lot of great movements and organizations. She was one of the notable figures in the Stonewall Uprising, which, if you are not aware, was a kind of like a series of protests that started in June of 1969 in New York at a bar called Stonewall. Basically, wherein LGBTQ folks who had had enough of being mistreated and also being violently attacked by the police were like, no, we're not taking this anymore, and they fought back. Marsha was known by many people to be a very giving person. She was homeless, but she would often take whatever she had materially, like whether it be like a couple of bucks or like the jacket that she was wearing, and offer it to somebody else who was in need, because she knew how difficult it would it was to be without resources. Marsha and her friend Sylvia Rivera started the legendary street transvestite Action Revolutionaries, aka Star House, which advocated for homeless LGBT youth, particularly transgender and young trans people who were homeless. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that that's happening, and that New York is kind of honoring her. For me, she's a very significant person in LGBTQ history. I think also she should be a significant person in also discussion about feminism, and of course discussions about Black history. Going off of that, though, as is typical on typical Tuesdays, I don't necessarily think that ideas are enough. We do have to give back and give reparations and to actually support one another as best as possible. So if you go on the internet and search up hashtag trans crowd fund, and that's hashtag TransCrowdFund, you'll be able to find lots of folks who are transgender who may be in need of some monetary or other forms of support. We do know that trans people are at the margins of much institutional support, particularly trans women of color, particularly Black trans women. So please do consider donating to folks who are involved in trans crowd funds. I think that's it for talking points from me, anyways. We're almost ending our show. Do you have any thoughts on things?
Not at this time.
Not at this time, says Sammy. Deborah?
Yeah. I think we have said enough. I don't know. I think Giovanni Hussan, I don't know if you know Giovanni mm-hmm. Hussan, he's the president of SFSS. He was here this morning, and there's another protest coming up. I really don't have a full information on that, but then he says there's another protest coming up tomorrow. And I would urge everybody to go on his Facebook page, Giovanni Hussan. Giovanni, and the surname is Hosang. And then look it up. There's a protest coming up, and he's being a strong activist when it comes to things where he thinks people's rights are being trampled upon. And you can check out the event and then participate accordingly. I'm so sorry I couldn't give you full details, but I would urge anybody out there to just go onto his Facebook page, and then you'll find all the information about that and join the protesters.
Thank you for that. Yes, please do for people who are interested in getting involved at SFU. So the show has to end like now, but here's a little clip from a song that Sammy has suggested. This is by Sanha Kim, and it's called Ridin' Waves.